Well, hello there. I am Matt Williamson, at Williamson NFL. This is Twitter Thursday on the Locked On NFL podcast. How is everyone this fine Thursday evening? I urge you to check out the entire Locked On Network. Some people are doing some great work on it and all your favorite teams. I just started my own website at williamsonfootball.com. I've been busy with that, churning out content left and right. Former scout, former ESPN analyst for 10 years. I've been doing this a long time. I think it's about my almost two decades now. Old man. So, starting off Twitter Thursday, I'm going to combine about 10 of your guys' questions about the Odell situation. I think the simple answer is you just pay the guy. You know, the caps keep going up. You know, your defense was really good 2 years ago, so-so last year. You apparently think you're a winning team. Is the rumblings we're getting that you weren't going to take a quarterback anyway, too, that you're going to take Barkley, Nelson, Chubb, something like that, or trade out. I do think there's a really good chance that Buffalo ends up at two eventually. Different story, though. I mean, Odell, I get that he's a pain in the ass sometimes, but he's historically good in terms of production. You watch him on tape, he's jaw-dropping. I mean, he's every bit in the conversation with Julio and AB as the two best, as the best receivers in the game, coming off an injury, but he deserves it. I mean, I think you just pay him. I mean, not to mention you pair him with Ingram and Shepard and maybe Barkley. I mean, you got some real skill around Eli in his twilight years. And I'm sure you guys know this by now, and this isn't shocking, but the numbers are drastically different in terms of offensive production in New York when Odell's in the lineup versus when he isn't. I mean, it's night and day. So he's a special player. You keep him. That's what I think. If not, I mean, that's where a lot of these questions arise. What's the going rate? And the thing you keep hearing are two first-round picks, which is pretty darn nice capital. But it also depends what team you're making that deal with. You know, if the Eagles are like, yeah, I'll send you two first-round picks, well, 32 and probably a late one next year isn't all that enticing. The two teams I think I want to discuss are the Browns and the Rams. And we'll lead us to more Rams talk here in a moment. But a lot of Rams questions today, too. The Browns. The thing I keep hearing is, would you give up fourth pick overall, and one of those very, very early seconds? You know, I think that's pretty good compensation. If I'm the Giants, do I say yes to that? Here's the deal, though. If you're the Giants and you trade Odell, don't you think that now at two, you draft a quarterback? You know, like, doesn't that just change everything, your entire outlook? That if we're going to trade away our best player, by a wide margin, by the way, shouldn't it be rebuild time? And maybe even field offers for Eli, although that's a little late now. You know, maybe Jacksonville will take him off your hands and get more and really rebuild. So if you end up with 2-4, your early second, the Browns' early second, I would then suggest I would change gears. I would take a quarterback and either Barkley, Chubb, or Nelson at four. And then in the second round, I would try to get another offensive lineman and, you know, maybe Sony Michel or something along those lines. You know, and that'd be a nice haul. And, oh, by the way, you don't have to pay the guy. You know, I mean, he's going to give you more freedom to spend down the road. But if you're the Browns, and also if I'd make that deal, you know, and if I'm the Giants, I'm like, throw in Corey Coleman. Browns might do that. If I'm the Browns, I'd love to get Odell and Landry together again. And they were a really competitive, tough pairing. I'm not real worried about bringing in a malcontent or what's he going to do with Josh Gordon? Are they going to be out doing drugs? And, you know, I don't think that's a big concern. If I'm the Browns, am I worth that price, though? I mean, I'm sure Sam Darnold would like to have Odell, Landry, Gordon, Njoku to throw to. As would Tyrod Taylor, of course. You know, I mean, there's that one's close. I think I probably would if I were the Browns. Although I don't think wide receiver is a massive need. You know, I mean, I'd still go Darnold. I wouldn't have a lot of picks left at my disposal to help with the offense tackle positions and maybe another edge rusher. But you got Odell freaking Beckham. I mean, what's the chances? I guess here's what it comes down to me. If I'm the Browns, what's the chances that the player you pick at four, say it's Chubb or whoever, Barkley, whoever, what's the chances they have as good a career as Odell does from now on? You know, you didn't get any of the production from day one of Odell till now. But he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he is. Look at his numbers. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, even in a tough position for this year. So I think I'd do it. The other name that came up was the Rams. Now, the Rams pick in the mid-20s. I'll give you, if I'm the Rams, I'll gladly give you my first and next year's first, which might be 32 if you have Odell. And chances are it's going to be pretty late. I mean, unless catastrophe hits and Goff and Darnold or Donald get hurt and whoever else, the Rams are going to be pretty good. And all of us will pick them to win their division. They might be the best team in the league. You add Peters, Tlaib, Sue, and Odell frickin' Beckham to your team that was the highest scoring offense in the league last year. Holy cow. So, yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat. I don't think that's enough if I'm the Giants, though. I mean, again, I don't want to trade him if I'm the Giants. Oh, my wide receiver's kind of a pain in the butt. He wants a lot of money. Yeah, because he's awesome and he deserves it. So that's what I would do there. Combining a lot of questions, too, on the Rams. A lot of you have asked, does this team, I'm going to paraphrase a bunch of questions into one here, but this team looks great on paper, but it's a lot of attitude. It's a lot of egos. Is it going to work? And we have to remember this is not fantasy football. You know, you don't just pick the best names and, you know, they have to coexist. You know, is Donald going to be jealous of Sue's money? Or I'm just, you know, speculating. They both will be free agents after the year. Who's going to get paid? You know, those type of things. And we've seen, like, the Eagles, remember them when they built that super team? It didn't work. But, and this would obviously be a challenge for a second-year-ever head coach in McVay. But I think having Wade Phillips around would go a really long way. I mean, he's dealt with Tlaib. Peters is supposedly similar from a volatile but pays-off standpoint. Donald's no problem at all. And Sue, I don't think Sue is a malcontent. I mean, if the Dolphins didn't sign him to insane money, he'd still be a Dolphin. You know, like, that was a contract that you had to cut because it was a dumb contract. And if you would add Odell to the mix too, I mean, maybe, but I think it would more be, how exciting is this to already join an established playoff team with a really good coach? I think it'd be more enthusiasm, excitement. You know, I can't wait to play for these guys. You know, not, oh, I better get more balls. And, you know, I mean, and he would obviously knock, although I thought Watkins would too, he would obviously knock Woods down a peg and Odell would be the featured guy. Another two or three questions, a lot of the same questions on Twitter Thursday today. Also going back to the Sue, Aaron Donald situation. You know, how are they going to use these guys? What kind of situation we have here? And again, I'm going to plug it a lot. At Williamson Football, WilliamsonFootball.com, I wrote a pretty extensive 1,000-word article or so on Sue to the Rams, you know, and talking tactics and things like that. And I think it's pretty obvious that on passing downs, when you're in nickel dime, you're going to have Sue and Donald as your two interior pass rushers, maybe both in a three technique position. Fine. Or wherever you align them. Donald's aligned all over the interior. Sue has as well. I think they're both best as a three technique over the outside shoulder of a guard. But, you know, I don't think it's going to matter. I mean, those two against any interior threesome in the league massively favors the Rams. I do think there's a need at edge. I mean, to me, if in a perfect world they draft a defensive end slash edge guy with their first pick, you know, Von Miller, but they're not going to get someone of that caliber, but that would be what Wade Phillips is looking for. But because your corners are so good, you can blitz a ton. because your interior pass rush is so good, you can not blitz a ton and still, you know. So, I mean, the answers are we have a lot more checkers at you and than you at really important positions. Here's the one wrinkle, though, that I wanted to throw out there, though, is don't forget about Michael Brockers. Brockers is a very good player. And all three of those guys have alignment versatility. But if you recall, remember when Sue was with the Lions, we saw this a fair amount, where they'd see a weak right tackle, and they would line him up on the outside shoulder of the tackle as an edge guy. I think that's something you could see more of. I'm not saying he's going to be your Von Miller, but if you put Brockers on the nose, Aaron Donald as a three technique, and a line, you know, Sue is basically like a 4-3 end, I like that a lot. I mean, and my point here is, again, there's not really a wrong answers, but Brockers is an ascending guy. He's powerful. If he's not out there and, you know, when you have an extra defensive back or two on the field, I'm fine with that. But he needs to play a lot of snaps. He has to be a foundation player of your defense. You have to get the three of them on the field a lot, no matter how you do it. And because we've seen it from Sue, and you've even seen Brockers kind of line up as like a 3-4 defensive end type at times. So, again, none of those things worry me, especially with Phillips in charge and figuring out where all these guys go. All right. Stockton asked me, do you think Dallas has a chance to make a Super Bowl appearance in the next 2 or 3 years? Sure. I'm a Dak Prescott believer. Zeke, you know, they got some obvious offensive line pieces. I think they have a handful of quality defensive dudes. I'm a little shocked they've been as quiet as they have in free agency. And they are going to have this window where you're going to have a franchise quarterback at an extremely low cost. And I think you have to attack that situation. But I see some holes, too. I mean, the offensive line has three great starters. Collins is good. He may stay at right tackle, may go back to guard. But I could see adding one more guy there. But what really worries me is the pass catchers, including Dez, including Witten. This group looks old, slow. I know they signed some guys, but they need speed. They need separation. They need explosion. And I don't see it. I think Prescott is not getting, unlike his rookie year where, you know, Elliott in that line made his adjustment to the league very easy. Well, not very easy, but comparatively kind of easy, easier. I don't think he's getting the help now because people just aren't getting open. People are not afraid of their weapons. There's a lot of man coverage corners around the league that can handle what Dallas brings at you, including Dez, without a lot of fear. So, you have some young pieces. They would probably have to land something that's of a home run maybe in the draft next year or two. And I would think maybe next year they're more spenders in free agency as well. But I don't see them as a bottom feeder. I mean, right now I kind of think they're around league average. So, a good team, good question. Brian Smith asked me, you have been killing the podcast game, point. What are your favorite pods for guest appearances? What was your worst podcast performance? And he says back, and he puts in quotes afterwards, I go back to your days with Jeremy Green, which was the first time I'd ever really been on the air. I remember when I got hired new with ESPN, they were like, hey, you want to go on Football Today once a week and break down games on Friday? I'm, all right, sure, what do I know? You know? And then it was, why don't you come back on Mondays and Fridays and we'll recap games and break down games. Then eventually I became the host and, you know, was many podcasts. That's a great question. I don't know if you guys know this. The only time I listen to music is when I'm working out, like on a bike or a elliptical or whatever. And while I'm doing that, I'm reading football and listening to music. Otherwise, I always have podcasts on and I subscribe probably to 50 or 60 of them, and 98% of them are football ones, some fantasy spins, some, you know, but all different, some analytical spins, all anything I can. But it's all football all the time, anytime I'm in the car, If I'm in the bathroom, if I'm just sitting around the house by myself, I have it blaring on my phone when I'm eating lunch. I mean, so I listen to a ton of podcasts too. I don't listen to any live radio, even though I'm on live radio a fair amount. And there's great ones out there. And I could go on and about all my favorites. My favorite ones to visit? I've been on the couch with Sigmund Bloom quite a bit. And that's a real relaxed hour just talking about whatever happens to come to your noodle. Always like revisiting with my man Ross Tucker. I've been on his show a lot. Oh, I was on Dave Damashek's show today. I think I was on his show like 10 years ago for the first time and haven't been since. I was on it today, so keep an eye out for that. That was fun. We have a Pittsburgh connection too. As for worst, I don't know. I mean, this comes very naturally to me. And even just sitting here with you guys without a guest, you know, or without another person to talk to, just kind of chatting football. The only time I guess I would say my worst are if people bring up non-football things. Like, I don't care if we talk about, hey, who's your favorite band? You know, what, something funny or something light. But if you're going to ask me about something semi-political or another sport, I don't know anything about other sports. You know, like, well, what do you think of, you know, this in baseball? I'm like, I don't even watch it. Everyone listening knows more about that than I do. So I don't like people to assume that I'm an expert on anything more than football, nor would anyone ever want to hear my opinions on anything other than football. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only thing, that's why I do what I do. So, Nick Ponce, do you think the 49ers should have added another wide receiver in free agency? Don't forget they have Pierre Garçon coming back, and I think they love Goodwin. And I think Kittle has a chance to be a pretty darn good tight end. But yeah, I think the answer is yes. I mean, if you go back to the Shanahan to Daddy Shanahan, I mean, if you go, you know, Kyle Shanahan to Daddy Shanahan to Kubiak, that offense has always featured a true number one. You know, Julio. You know, think about the guys Kubiak had. Andre Johnson. Brandon Marshall. You know, like, they've always had a stud number one. And you could say, well, yeah, that's just good luck. But no, I mean, that offense, more so than most, has a true number one receiver. And I think Garçon will play that role. And like when they signed Garçon, who came from a similar system in Washington, I kind of said, he's going to be their pseudo one until they draft Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson type of guy, you know, and then Garcon's the logical two. He's the Robert Woods. But the opportunity hasn't really presented itself. I mean, I do think they were interested in Watkins and Robinson, and there isn't somebody taking the draft that fits that mold, and there really wasn't somebody available last year. So I think that might be coming, especially, you know, a year from now if Garcon's a year older, all those type of things. They've always had a speed receiver too, by the way. So, yes, I think that they should, but I don't know that it's worth their time just to grab a fourth-round wideout just to throw him in the mix. I mean, I think it, in that situation, it's go big or go home. You know, go get a stud. And they'll have cap space next year. I mean, they could. What about them for Odell? I'd give up my first-round pick if I was the Niners for Odell. And next year's first? Yeah, and next year's first. Not that, and I'm not one of these people who think, boy, Niners are going to the playoffs. They got all their things fixed. And I'm the biggest shimmy guy you'll ever find. But how about that? I mean, if Odell really is on the block, I like that fit a lot. If I were the Niners, I'd be all over them. Mason Nuss asked me, what do you think about the Wonderlic? It's probably a little outdated. I don't know this because I haven't been a scout for a while. But I just know that you can practice it. You can get your hands on it. It used to be back in the day, the first time anyone would ever see or hear of a Wonderlic is when they sat down and took it for the first time. But now you can practice, and practice would certainly help. And I think this is interesting because when I was the director of football operations at Akron, the Blesto scouts came through to do preliminary height and weight, all those things. And I spent the entire day with those guys, and they gave the kids the Wonderlic as well. And I was like, hey, can I take it? I'm like, I've been super into scouting and everything I could learn, you know, and this was, like, again, like 15 years ago. Can I take it? And they're like, yeah, sure, why not, you know? And what it is, and I don't know if it's changed or not, I really haven't kept up with it, but what it was then and what historically you guys know as the Wunderlich is 50 questions. I think it was 8 minutes, maybe 10, but a small amount of time. And the first question is really, really easy. But it takes 10 seconds of your life to read it and check the box or whatever. I mean, it's, how rudimentary could I get? You know, like, Johnny likes apples. Susie has apples. Does Johnny want an apple? I don't know. That was an awful example by me right there. Just awful. But it's something that there's an obvious conclusion that my kids who are 9 and 11 would have no problem answering. And really, every question then gets progressively harder. But the first 10 are simple. I mean, but they take 2 minutes of your 8 minutes or whatever. I mean, that's the deal. And then by the time you're in the 20th question or so, you know, you're scribbling on a piece of paper, figuring out the math or whatever. So I do think there's value. I don't know that it's a makes you a bad football player if you get a low score or whatever. But, you know, like, I took it, and I only got to about question number 40 before the buzzer rang, and it was like, wow, okay. But you don't want to skip. I mean, you could definitely skip them, but you take advantage of those easy ones at the beginning. You know, it's not like you get more points for getting the hard ones. I got 35 out of 50, which is a pretty good score. You know, like, if you read, you know, all the Wunderlich scores out there, 35's near the top at the people that are coming out in each draft. I mean, there's obviously a handful that are better. Usually quarterbacks, usually offensive linemen, punters, kickers, whatever. But that's, you know, stereotyping a little bit. However, because I told you how easy it is, anytime I see somebody with a single-digit score or, like, 11, I'm like, whoa, dude. I mean, like, I would hope everyone out there would at least, and I'm not making fun of anyone's intelligence, but if you can read and have a little bit of common sense, you should get a 15, and I still would sort of frown upon your 15. But you see dudes every year that get an 8, get a 9, and you guys know I talk up the U a lot. You know, when I was at Pitt, we played against the U. When I was at, you know, the Browns, there was a lot of old coaches from the U, Butch Davis, all those dudes. But there was a pretty good streak there of some of those great players coming out from the U that got like 9, 10, 11, and still went on to be awesome NFL players and were awesome players at Miami. But it does raise an eyebrow for me. If I'm like, you got an 8, you know, like, wow. You know, like that stand-up of Chris Rock, you know, when his first and best one is, you know, when your kid and you ask your, you know, what's a bad mama? Whenever you ask your kid, what's 2 plus 2? And he looks at you and he says, Jello. You know, like, that's rough. So, that's what I got today. I don't have anything planned for tomorrow. But there's a plethora of Twitter questions here since we haven't done this in so long. Maybe we'll make that a two-parter and just do more Twitter questions Twitter Thursday on a Friday again. We haven't done that in a while. All right. See you later.